here, happy Palm Sunday. We'd like you to stand, and you can join me in worshiping by singing Hosanna, loud Hosanna. Please stand.
Seated. We want to welcome this morning to church as we come together on Palm Sunday and begin our journey into Holy Week. For those of us that are watching online, we welcome you this morning as well and glad that you're with us. Just some reminders this morning in the back. If you did not get one, there is an order of service as well as a large song lyrics if you cannot see the screen. And there's also just the weekly announcements that are in the back. At the Welcome Center and at the credenza in the back also are some different things as far as what's going on with Columbia Methodist Church that you can take with you and see what's going on or take it to your neighbors and share what's going on as well. And just also want to take this time to thank everybody that was a part of the breakfast downstairs this morning to make that happen as we're getting back in the swing of things again. It was good to get downstairs and fellowship with one another and have some good food this morning. So thank you everybody that made that possible. And just a reminder for those at home watching, that'll continue to be the last Sunday of every month. So we hope that you might join us at some point in time for the breakfast as well. Also, just want to thank you for your giving to Columbia Methodist Church and for continuing to support the ministries here. And you can do that this morning by giving online or by mailing or dropping your giving off here at the church. And we would just thank you again for supporting the ministries here and for continuing to allow Christ to use you through your giving to continue to impact the community in which we live. Well, let us join together this morning in prayer. Lord God, we come before you now and we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. And we come before you now, God, and we ask, Lord, that you would fill this place with your Spirit, that you would help us to hear you speak to us today, that you would open our hearts and our minds and our ears, God, that we might hear from you, Lord. So, Lord, we come now and we celebrate this Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, God, as we come and we celebrate what it means going into Holy Week and what next Sunday means for Easter. And so we give you thanks and praise, God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. And one final announcement is don't forget that next Sunday, 10 o'clock, we will be having an Easter service here with communion, and we'll hope that you'll join us in person or online as we come together and celebrate resurrection next Sunday, Easter Sunday, at 10 o'clock in the morning. So let us continue to worship this morning. You can worship as you stand, sit, you can clap, raise your hands, however you want to worship God this morning. Let us continue to give thanks and praise to God on this Palm Sunday.
Please stand. As we sing, Blessed Be the Name.
Our scripture today is from Mark 11, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly." They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
You may be seated. First, I just want to say thank you, praise team. Wow, I mean, it's so awesome just hearing all the instruments blended together and hearing you guys sing. What an amazing time of worship. I love standing up front here and hearing you guys and hearing the music. It's just, what a wonderful way to come together on Palm Sunday and to praise our Lord and Savior. Before I want to get started, I just wanted to take this time to thank Sue and Deb as they came in earlier in the week and they arranged our sanctuary for us this morning so that we could have a Palm Sunday experience and kind of get the feel of what it might have been like on that Palm Sunday. So thank you for coming in and arranging the palms for us that we could have a Palm Sunday feel this morning. Let us pray together this morning. Lord, we come before you now and we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us in your small, still voice. We ask, Lord, the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight now, God. Amen. Well, if you know anything about the ministry of Jesus, you will know that whenever he healed somebody or whenever he would bring somebody back from the dead, that he would say these words, "Don't tell anybody what I did." Now, we might wonder, why would Jesus say that? Why would Jesus tell his disciples or the individuals he healed, "Don't tell anybody about what I did"? He talks about even to the adulterous woman when she was caught in adultery, and the Samaritan woman, he says, "But don't say anything about what happened here." Now, I don't know about you, but I could kind of get a little confused and scratch my head sometimes and say, well, if Jesus is coming, why wouldn't he want people to know who he was? When we begin to think and look back at those words of Jesus of "don't tell anybody," we find here that Jesus was not trying to market himself. That Jesus didn't come to do ministry to market himself to say, "Look who I am, I'm the Son of God, and repent and turn away from your sins." That's not why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to bring attention to himself. He came to point others to the Father. Therefore, he didn't want word to get out too much because he didn't want people coming to worship him for the wrong reason. He didn't want people coming to see him because, well, Jesus can do this for me. Jesus can give me food. Jesus can heal me. So when Jesus would say, "Don't tell anybody," he was saying, "I don't want the wrong people coming to worship me for the wrong reasons." When we look at Mark 11 this morning, the text of the Palm Sunday story, one of the texts in the Gospels, we see that it is that time to go near Jerusalem because it was a time for Passover week. And as they came to Bethpage and the Mount of Olives, that Jesus sent out the two disciples to go get the colt to bring it to him that he could begin riding into Jerusalem. And as the disciples did what they were instructed, and they found that colt tied and they brought it to Jesus, that Jesus begins to get on that donkey and make his way to Jerusalem. And what happens? The very thing that Jesus had feared, that people are going to start saying Hosanna, throwing down their cloaks and their palms, all for the wrong reasons. That the very thing that Jesus had feared and warned against was going to happen to him on that Palm Sunday. That on that Palm Sunday, as he would begin to enter in on that triumphal entry, that people would be crying to him and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," not because he was a Son of God, but for all the wrong reasons. For their selfish ambitions, for their selfish motives, because they didn't see Jesus for being the Son of God, they saw Jesus for being an individual that would free them from Roman affliction. We find as Jesus begins to go into Jerusalem, and they begin to say, "Blessing is God's kingdom, blessed is David's kingdom, it's going to come again," that they were doing so under misguided intentions. That they were not proclaiming he was Hosanna, a person that would free us from spiritual bondage, but instead they were claiming him to be Hosanna in the hopes that selfishly, that they could be restored together as a nation one day. That was based on their misguided expectations. That they were hoping that Jesus would take up a sword and free them. They were hoping that Jesus would start a revolt against the Roman government. They were hoping that as Jesus came in on that Palm Sunday, that it took them all the way back to the Maccabean revolt. It took them back to the time in which a part of their history that they were freed from oppression, in which they threw a big parade, in which they had palms and cloaks being thrown at the feet of the person who freed them from oppression. And they thought that Jesus was going to be that. They thought that Jesus was going to be the new Simon Maccabeus, the one from the history who defeated the foreign armies and kept Israel intact as a nation. And they thought Jesus was going to be the reincarnate of Simon Maccabeus, throwing down cloaks, celebrating that he was going to be the one that would free them and restore them. That as he rode in Jerusalem, they cheered for him. They roared his name in the hopes that Jesus would be able to free them. They were bubbling up with enthusiasm. They were excited on that Palm Sunday because this is the one who's going to free us. It was like going to a parade on July the 4th on Memorial Day. It was like being at Disney World on Christmas Day when they had the Christmas parade. People were excited to be there, to see the one, to get a glimpse of the one that they thought would restore them again. But we find that as Jesus rode on that donkey, it wasn't a symbol of conquest. It was a symbol of humility. That Jesus chose a donkey on purpose to show how humble he was. That is, he approached Jerusalem and came to Jerusalem. He was coming as their humble servant. Not as a conqueror, but as a humble servant. One who came to serve, not to be served. That he came not as a mighty warrior king to free people from oppression, but he came as a humble servant. You see, the people didn't get it because they were so preoccupied with what was going on in their lives. They were so preoccupied with the political and economic status of their day and age that they were blind to see who Jesus really was before them. They were blind to see that as Jesus rode in on that donkey, that was the beginning of God doing something new for Israel and beginning to do something new for the Gentiles. That as he rode on that donkey, it was beginning of God doing something new and miraculous. Beginning the work through Jesus in that holy week in which he'd be led to the cross to die for you and for me so that we could have forgiveness of sins and be resurrected on Easter Sunday so that we too can have life and have it everlasting. They missed that. How many times in our lives do we miss it as well? How many times in our life is Jesus right in front of us, but we are so consumed with our own oppression? We are so consumed with what's going on politically in the world around us that we fail to see Jesus right before us. How many of us are so consumed with the economic packets that are being passed through Congress or what's going on with our economy, what's going on with our stock market, or what's going on with our own personal budgets that we lose sight that Jesus is right in front of us? How many of us, like those individuals on Palm Sunday, are not expecting Jesus to come and free us from spiritual oppression? But we're saying, okay, God, we're ready for you to free us from the oppression of this world. We're ready for you to come so that we can have a better government. We're waiting for you to come so that we can have a better way of life. We're ready for you to come so that we can end poverty. We're ready for you to come so that we don't have to be poor, so that we don't have to worry about food, so we have a roof over our head. We're ready for you to come because we're tired of everything going on in D.C. and also in our state government, well, the arguing and the fighting. We're ready for you to come back because we're tired of the infighting in all the churches. We just want to be one church united. We're ready for you to come back because we're tired and we're weary and we're done struggling with all this stuff. So we're ready for you to come back. You see, so many times we're ready for Jesus to come in on the donkey and triumphal entry for all the wrong reasons. For our own benefits. For our own personal gain, just like the Israelites did and the Jews did. And so many times we forget and we don't see Jesus for who he really is. That he has come to free us so that we can be spiritually liberated and spiritually free. So that you and I might have eternal life. So that when we die, that death does not have the final say in this world. That we will live forever with God with perfect bodies. No more tears, no more suffering, no more pain, no more crying. That everything be made perfect again. We miss the fact that Jesus is the second Adam. That when Adam and Eve were created and made perfect, and Adam sinned, as we talked about last week, that God put things in motion in the beginning of time, that Jesus would be the second Adam to restore everything back to the way it was. You see, what we forget is that God is at work, and He is working even when we can't see Him. That John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall be saved. Now, if you go back to the beginning of that verse where it says, for God so loved the world, the Greek in that translation means cosmos. It means everything in this world. It means that when Jesus died on the cross and He rose again, it means that as He entered in on Palm Sunday, that He was going to redeem the entire world, meaning the grass, the trees, the clouds, the air which we breathe. Everything in this world that has been fallen, that He died to redeem back to God again, and He died to redeem us as well. The entire cosmos, everything we interact with in this world, Jesus died for, to redeem, to restore it. And that's what we miss on Palm Sunday. We miss that journey that He's beginning to take on Holy Week, in which He's going to be beaten with a cat of nine tails, in which His flesh is going to be torn off, in which He's going to be made to carry a cross that he can't even get up the hill, that somebody else has to carry it for Him, let alone being nailed to a cross and thrown in the ground and saying, Father, forgive them, for they're not what do. To be resurrected on Easter Sunday so that you and I, on this Palm Sunday, can truly come and say, Hosanna, for the right reasons, not for the wrong reasons. That we can say Hosanna because we truly say, thank You for giving Yourself up for us. Thank You for being that humble servant. Thank You for redeeming us, for being selfless. And so we come on this Palm Sunday, and we come and we proclaim Hosanna. We proclaim Hosanna for what He's done for us, and to acknowledge that God is working amidst us. I don't know about you, but so many times I kind of look at my Christian life, and you'll kind of go, well, why am I going through this, or why is this happening to me? And we'll probably ask ourselves that many times in our lives. Why is this happening to me? I know, you know, when I had COVID for those few weeks and I kind of started to get over it a little bit and then something else happened and then I found out I had pneumonia, I was like, why is this going on to me? Why me? Why can't I just get over it, you know? Why can't I be like my boys in Melody and kind of shake it? Why is this lingering? Why? How come? And as you're struggling through that process, you begin to wonder, why me? How come it's so difficult at times? And you know what? What I find is that it's in those times of those difficult places that God is working, and I'm not sure where He's working. Just like He's working in the good times, but so many times we're on Palm Sunday, like 2,000 years ago, and we're proclaiming Hosanna, Hosanna, when things are going good. But when things don't go the way we want it to, when things didn't go the way that those Jews wanted it to go, they said, nail Him to a cross because we want nothing to do with Him because He's a disappointment to us. He didn't fulfill our expectations and we want nothing to do with Him. So Palm Sunday, it's really easy to come and say Hosanna when things are going good. But what about in the difficult times too? Do we say Hosanna in those times? Do we say Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna? Do we proclaim Hosanna when things are going bad as well? You see, sometimes it's like we have a paintbrush and we start painting a picture. And then all of a sudden God starts taking the paintbrush from us and starts painting and we'll say, God, what are You doing? That's not what I had in mind. That's not the picture I wanted painted. God, You're ruining my painting. What are You doing, God? That's not the painting. That's not the visual I had. But God's not ruining the painting. God's taking the paintbrush, and He's beginning to paint a bigger, better picture for you and I. A bigger and better picture that you and I could never have dreamed of. But so many times we say, God, stop. No, You're doing it all wrong. That's not the expectation I had. So many times we're like on Palm Sunday and then it comes and it goes and we say, God, we're sorry. You're just not living up to things. You're not living up to my expectations. And we walk away and we send Jesus to the cross and we're just like those Jews who say, crucify Him. because we miss out on what today is all about. It is about the Messiah coming, walking a journey so that you and I could be restored and call God sons and daughters, so that we could be here today to worship together and give thanks to God for everything we have, because it all comes from God. It is to come to say, God, thank you for working, even when I don't know you're working. Thank you, God, for doing things, even when I don't understand. And thank you, God, for changing that picture, even when I didn't want you to. Because it's way more beautiful than I ever thought mine could ever be. You see, I think we need to be reminded of why we're here this morning. Are we here because it's Palm Sunday and that's what we do? We go into Holy Week and we'll come back on Good Friday and Easter and then we'll kind of forget about things? Or are we here because we truly want to proclaim Hosanna and give thanks and praise for what God did through His Son, Jesus Christ? You see, God is at work even when we're not aware of it. And the Palm Sunday, that very first Palm Sunday some 2,000 years ago, those people were looking for a conquering king. They had high hopes. They had high expectations. They were looking for something to happen, but God had different plans. And when God's plans weren't their plans, we find those people turned their back on Jesus because it wasn't what they wanted. You see, God's plan on that triumphal entry would change the world forever, so much so that 2,000 years later, we're here today celebrating that same Palm Sunday. That some 2,000 years later, we are talking about Jesus and how we can change lives because of the plan that God had and how different God's plan was from that first Sunday. And so we're here, yes, this morning, to begin Holy Week, to enter into Holy Week, to give thanks and praise for saying to God, Hosanna, Hosanna. But we also have a mission this Palm Sunday. And that mission is that when we leave this place, and when you take your palm or your numerous palms with you when you leave today, that we are called to go to make God visible in this world in which we live. That Palm Sunday is not just coming and celebrating. That Easter Sunday is not just coming and celebrating. That Good Friday is not coming and repenting and turning away of our sins. No, Palm Sunday, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter all reminds us of the fact that just like Jesus, you and I, we have a mission this Palm Sunday and every single day of our lives. And that is that there are people in our community that they have an expectation of who Jesus is. They think that Jesus is an individual who is going to do certain things for them just like the Jews did some 2,000 years ago. And our mission is to point them into who Jesus really is. Our mission is to go and show them who Jesus is and why Jesus did what He did this Holy Week. Why Jesus took a sacrifice for you and for me and for them. You see, Jesus started with a small group of those 12. And then He branched out from there when He left. The disciples began to build churches. The disciples began to go and tell because the disciples finally got it after He ascended into heaven. You see, you and I this morning, we are called to go and to tell people what Palm Sunday is all about and who Jesus is. You see, God is doing amazing things, but He's not just doing amazing things in our churches. He's doing amazing things in our communities through individuals that we overlook at times, through teachers that are serving in schools, through hospital workers and nurses, through people in our community that give back to our community and they serve and they want to see our community thrive. We see that God is working through people and individuals to make a difference in the world in which we live, by touching other individuals' lives without people even knowing they were touched. You see, so many times we lose sight of the fact that going and sharing the good news is not just about being in church and talking about what God's doing, but it's about what we do in our daily lives. It's about what you do with the job that you have. It's about what happens with the people you come in contact with on a daily basis. It's about individuals that are going and spending time and talking to people who are troubled and hearing their stories. It's about going and saying what God has done for you and exposing to them who Hosanna really is. You see, I think at times when we look at our church in general, we'll say, well, we do a lot of good programs for the community. You know, we'll do a breakfast, or we'll do a dinner, or we'll do a hot dog Saturday, or we'll do whatever, and then we'll sit and ask ourselves a question. Well, why doesn't anybody then come to church from the things we're offering? Why did they come to the programs, but that's it, they don't stay for anything? Well, a question we need to be asking ourselves is this. Are we building relationships with those individuals? Those individuals that might step foot in the door on breakfast on a Sunday morning like today, or might order Easter eggs that we might not even know that might just because they're here in the community, or on a hot dog Saturday, or whatever it might be that we might be doing as a church, the people that come to these things we offer, do we really know who they are? Or do we just kind of say, hey, thanks for coming, here's your breakfast, or thanks for coming, here's your stuff, and that's the only thing we ever know of those people? Do we ever get to know their names and say, hi, who are you? Tell me your name. Tell me about you. Tell me why you're here. Tell me your story. Have we ever asked those individuals, you know, what is it about Columbia that you might change? And then maybe ask the question of, you know, well, what can our church do to help you or to help with that thing you suggested? You see, I think as a church, we miss the boat on that. Myself included, folks, that we miss this opportunity to build relationships. That's the connection of going and sharing the gospel. That's the connection of Palm Sunday and Holy Week, is getting to know people, talking to them as they're waiting in line or they're sitting at tables or whatever. Just walk up and saying, hey, how are you doing? We're glad you're here. Tell me about yourself. And then all of a sudden, as you build those relationships, yeah, they might come to church, they might not come to church, but you know what? They feel important because they were noticed. And that's what Jesus' ministry was all about, was noticing people. You see, we can kind of build our relationships here in our own church, our own sanctuary. We can get to know each other here. But maybe this morning you're looking around and maybe you might not even really know who's actually here in church because you haven't spent time to really get to know them a little bit. You see, folks, Palm Sunday is all about relationships. It's all about a relationship with God first and foremost and a relationship with others. Getting to know people, getting to know God, and introducing them to why we do what we do here as a church. That's what Jesus did on Palm Sunday and the donkey. He came humbly on a donkey saying, I'm here. I'm here to build relationships with you, and I'm here to point you to God. But so many times we miss it like those people, and we get caught up in all the doing that we don't spend time with the getting to know the way that Jesus did, folks. You see, we can come and we can sing praises today. We can sing Hosanna highest. We can give thanks to God all we want to today. But it means nothing if we're not going out and we're not really investing in people's lives. If we're not recognizing the fact that wherever you might be at in your community, whether it's you're retired or whether you're employed as a teacher, as a business person, whatever, that you have a story to share with those individuals and get to know their story as well. And point other people to them, because guess what? You are a minister of the gospel, each and every single one of you that are here. Each and every one of you is a minister of the gospel. And each and every one of you can go and share and point others to Him. So this Palm Sunday, as we come together and we finish up, let us continue to praise God and give thanks for what God has done for us, but let us not lose sight of what it means, and let us not have expectations to say, well, God, this is what I want from you. No, let us say, God, what are your expectations for me? You know what the answer is? Come and follow me. That's all He wants. You see, Christ is still alive. Christ is still living. Christ is going to come again, folks. And until that day happens, we're going to have oppression. We're going to have people arguing. We're going to have racism. We're going to have financial struggles in the world in which we live. We're going to have wars and rumors of wars, folks. But that's our job as the ministers of the gospel, to go in the world and make a difference. To point others to Him. To lay down our palms. To lay down our lives on this Sunday and say, God, here I am. Use me and take me. You see, this morning as we come, the question that Jesus has for us on this Palm Sunday is this: can he count on you? Can he count on me? Can he count on us to go and make a difference? Can he count on us to change the world in which we live? Can he count on us to go and make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world? As we go into Holy Week, let us be challenged with that question. Can God count on me the way that God counted on Jesus to go to the cross? For that's what Holy Week's about. It's God saying, here I am. Will you join me? Lord, we come before you now and we give you thanks and praise, Lord, as we come and we just thank you for this Palm Sunday and what it led to. We thank you for going into Holy Week this week, God. And God, we pray, God, that we would be ready and that you can count on us and that we would not lose sight of why we're here. That we're here because of what you've done for us, but most importantly, we're here not only because of what you've done for us, but to go and to point others to you, God. Help us to not get caught up in things, take things for granted, but help us each and every day to look to you and to look to the cross. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Please stand as we celebrate one more time together as a church this morning and worship Jesus by singing Hosanna. If you happen to have a palm branch, feel free to wave it or get one from the middle there. As we sing Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Ever take for granted how just a simple conversation can change a life. I was thinking back to day camp, my first year here, and I remember coming across one of those kids who was across the table. He just didn't seem to fit in. He didn't seem to connect with anybody, and just went over and started talking with him, and lo and behold, we had something in common. and that was Transformers. I love Transformers. I'm sorry, I still am a Transformer geek at 46 years old. But I went over and began to talk to him about Transformers, and we connected over Transformers. And to this day, me and him have a really good relationship. It all sprung from 5 years ago at day camp over Transformers. You don't have to talk spiritual ease, folks. Just go and get to know people and talk to people, and you'd be surprised the doors that open and all of a sudden how relationships are built. We were talking about Transformers, nothing theological. We were talking about toys. And it made a connection that still lasts to today. So don't underestimate the value of a conversation. Now as you go this week, may you go in peace. May the peace of God go with you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. Have a wonderful Holy Week.